الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم 163 مدني pearls excellence of Darood Sharif the revered and renowned Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has stated O people Undoubtedly, from the terror and accountability of the Day of Judgment, the person who would attain the quick salvation will be the one amongst you who would have recited Darood upon me abundantly in the world. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Now here are some Madni pearls related to different subject matters. Do not consider every Madani pearl listed below to be a sunnah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Besides sunnah, the sayings conveyed by our pious predecessors are also included in them. Remember this ruling that no deed can be declared to be the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam unless it is known for sure. Every Muslim can act upon all Madani pearls contained in this booklet and hope to attain paradise by acting upon them. All preachers, Islamic brothers and Islamic sisters are requested that after delivering sunnah-inspiring bayan, please read out on any one topic the Madani pearls of this booklet according to the situation. Also read out the lines mentioned at the beginning and end of every topic. Dear Islamic brothers, in conclusion, I take this opportunity to mention the excellence of a blessed sunnah as well as some sunnah and manners. The Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has said, Whoever loves my sunnah loves me, and whoever loves me will be with me in Jannah. Seena teri sunnat ka madina bane aqa, jannat mein parosi mujhe tum apna banana. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. 13 Madani pearls of drinking water. Two blessed sayings of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Number one, do not drink water in one breath like a camel, but rather drink it in two or three breaths. Recite Bismillah before you drink it, and when you have drunk it, recite Alhamdulillah. Number two, the noblest Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam forbade from taking breath or blowing into the pot. Commenting on the aforementioned blessed hadith, a renowned commentator, a great thinker of Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated, breathing in the container is an act done by animals. Moreover, keep your mouth away from the container when you breathe, as a breath is sometimes poisonous, i.e. keep the glass away from your mouth when exhaling breath. Do not blow on hot tea or milk in order to cool it down, but wait for a while. When it gets a little cooler, then drink it. Nevertheless, there is no harm in blowing onto water after reciting the Darood Sharif etc. with the intention of seeking cure. Number 3. Recite Bismillah before drinking water. Number 4. Drink in small sips by sucking the water. Big sips cause liver disease. Number 5. Drink water in 3 breaths. Number 6. Drink water using the right hand and in the sitting position. Number 7. Drinking water left in the ear after wudu, i.e. ablution, is a cure for 70 diseases, as it resembles zamzam water. Except for these two, i.e. the leftover water of wudu and zamzam water, drinking any kind of water while standing is makruh. Drink leftover water of wudu and zamzam water while standing and facing the qibla. Number 8. Make sure that there is no harmful thing etc. in the drink or water etc. before you drink it. Number 9. Having drunk water, say Alhamdulillah. Number 10. Hujjatul Islam Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated, recite Bismillah before starting to drink water, Alhamdulillah at the end of the first breath, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen after the second breath, and recite Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahmanir Rahim after the third breath. Number 11. Leftover clean drinking water by a Muslim in a glass should not be thrown away unnecessarily while it is usable. Number 12. It is narrated, Su'rul Mu'mini Shifa'un, i.e. the leftover of a Muslim contains cure. Number 13. After some moments of drinking water, if you see the empty glass, you will notice a few drops of water gathered in the bottom of the glass. Drink them as well. To learn thousands of sunnahs on various topics, buy and read the books Bahare Sharia Part 16, a 312-page book, and Sunnatain aur Adab, a 120-page book published by Maktabatul Madina. One of the best ways to learn the sunnahs is to travel with the Madani Qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami in the company of the devotees of the beloved Rasool. Lootane rahmatain qafile mein chalo, seekhane sunnatain qafile mein chalo, hongi hal mushkile qafile mein chalo, khatam hoon shamatain qafile mein chalo. Dear Islamic brothers, in conclusion, I take this opportunity to mention the excellence of a blessed sunnah as well as some sunan and manners. The Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, has said, whoever loves my sunnah loves me, and whoever loves me will be with me in Jannah. Seena teri sunnat ka madina bane aqa, jannat mein parosi mujhe tum apna banana. 15 Madni Pearls of Walking. Number 1. Allah Azza wa Jalla has said in Surah Bani Israel, Part 15, Ayah number 37. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضَ وَلَنْ تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. And do not walk arrogantly on the earth. You can never split the earth, nor be as high as the mountains. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Number 2. The fragrant saying of the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has been narrated on page 435 of Bahare Shariat, volume 3, the 1197 page publication of Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami. A man covered with two shawls was strutting and was puffed up with pride. He was made to sink into the earth, and he will continue to sink until the day of judgment. Number 3. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam would sometimes hold the hand of any of his companion in his blessed hand whilst walking. Number 4. When the holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam walked, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam would lean a little bit forward as if he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam was descending from a height. Number 5. Never walk with pride, wearing chains of gold or any other metal around your neck, with the front buttons of your shirt open as if to show off. This is the style of the unwise, arrogant and transgressors. It is haram for men to wear bracelets and a gold chain around the neck. Wearing other metallic chains is not permissible either. Number 6. If there is no hindrance, walk on the side of the pathway at a medium pace. Don't be so fast that people start looking at you, thinking that where is he going in such hastiness. Do not walk too slowly, either that people may assume that you are ill. One should not hold the hand of an attractive lad, because holding or shaking hands or hugging any Islamic brother out of lust is haram, and an act leading to hell. Number 7. It is not sunnah to look here and there unnecessarily whilst walking. Walk with dignity and with your gaze lowered. Sayyidina Hassan bin Abi Sinan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi went for the Eid Salah. When he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi came back home, his wife asked him, "How many women did you see today?" He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi observed silence. When she insisted, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, "I kept looking at the toes of my feet from exiting the house till my return to you." Subhanallah, Azza wa Jalla. The blessed saints, rahmahumullah ta'ala, did not look here and there unnecessarily whilst walking, especially when it was crowded, lest they look at someone not permitted by the Sharia to look at. This was the piety of our saints, rahmahumullah ta'ala. The ruling is that if your glance falls on a woman unintentionally and you avert your glance immediately, you will not be sinful. Number 8. It is not appropriate to look at balcony or windows of somebody else's home unnecessarily. Number 9. Whilst walking or coming up or down the stairs, take care that your shoes do not make any noise. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did not like the sound created by shoes. Number 10. If there are two women standing or going on their way, do not pass between them. It has been prohibited in the blessed hadith. Number 11. It is against manners to spit, blow your nose, put your finger inside the nose, clean the dirt of your body with your fingers, keep itching your ears or private parts, etc., whilst walking, sitting down or standing in front of people. Number 12. Some people have the habit of kicking whatever comes in their way. This is a very ill-mannered practice. There is also a danger of your foot getting injured. Furthermore, kicking newspapers or boxes, packets and empty bottles of mineral water having inscriptions on them is also very disrespectful. Number 13. Whilst walking, abide by the laws that do not oppose the Sharia. For example, whilst the traffic is moving, if the zebra crossing or the overhead bridge is available, use them in order to cross the road. Number 14. Cross the road by looking in the direction of the traffic. If you are in the middle of a road and the vehicle is approaching, rather than running away, try to stay there, as this is a safer approach. Furthermore, to cross the tracks at times when trains are usually passing is like inviting your death. The one who considers trains to be very far and crosses the track should keep in mind the danger of getting entangled in wires, etc., and falling over due to haste or carelessness and being crushed by the train. There are places where it is against the law to cross the track. Obey these laws, especially on the stations. Number 15. Walk for 45 minutes doing zikr and reciting Durood Sharif every day with the intention of gaining strength to worship. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, you will remain healthy. The best way to walk is to walk at fast pace for the first 15 minutes, medium pace for the next 15 minutes, and then fast pace again for the last 15 minutes. By walking this way, the whole body will be exercised. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, the digestive system will be fine, you will be safe from constipation, gas, overweight, heart diseases, and countless other diseases. InshaAllah Azza wa Jalla. To learn thousands of sunnahs on various topics, purchase and read the books Bahar-e Sharia Part 16, a 312-page book, and Sunnatain aur Adab, a 120-page book published by Maktabatul Madina. One of the best ways to learn the sunnahs is to travel with the Madani Qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami in the company of the devotees of the beloved Rasool. Lootane rahmatain qafile mein chalo, seekhane sunnatain qafile mein chalo, hongi hal mushkile qafile mein chalo, khatam hoon shamatain qafile mein chalo. Dear Islamic brothers, in conclusion, I take this opportunity to mention the excellence of a blessed sunnah as well as some sunnah and manners. The Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has said, "Whoever loves my sunnah loves me, and whoever loves me will be with me in Jannah." Sina teri sunnat ka madina bane aqa, jannat mein parosi mujhe tum apna banana. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. 19 Madani pearls of applying oil and combing hair. Number 1. Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has said that the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam would often apply oil to the blessed head and comb the blessed beard, and he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam would often put a cloth, Sarband Sharif, over the blessed head, even to the extent that the cloth used to get moist with oil. From this we come to know that the use of Sarband is Sunnah. Islamic brothers should wear a small piece of cloth over the heads whenever they oil the heads. By this, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, cloth cap and turban will remain protected from the oiliness to a large extent. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, Ashika Madina Afiyanhu has been routinely using Sarband, i.e. a bandana, with the intention of acting upon the Sunnah for many years. Number 2. Saying of the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, "Whoever has hair should respect them," i.e. he should wash, oil and comb them. The foul smell often emanates from the hair of those who do not routinely wash their hair and beard from soap, etc., although they themselves are unaware of it, but others can sense it. It is haram, forbidden to enter the masjid, if foul smell emanates from mouth, hair, body and clothes, etc., as it causes trouble to the angels and the people. Number 3. Sayyiduna Nafi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that Sayyiduna Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma used to oil his hair twice a day. Oiling hair frequently is useful, especially for intellectuals, as it keeps dandruff away, refreshes the brain and builds strong memory. Number 4. Saying of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, "When one amongst you oils, he should begin with eyebrows, it relieves headache." Number 5. It is stated in Kanzul Umal, whenever our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam applied oil, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam would first pour oil onto his left palm, then oil both his blessed eyebrows, further both blessed eyes, i.e. his blessed eyelashes, and then the blessed head. Number 6. It is narrated in Tabarani, when the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam oiled the blessed beard, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam would begin with anfaqa, i.e. hair grown between the lower lip and chin. Number 7. It is sunnah to comb the beard. Number 8. It is against the sunnah to oil without reciting Bismillah and to keep hair dry and uncombed. Number 9. It is stated in a blessed hadith, the one who oils without reciting Bismillah, 70 Satans accompany him. Number 10. Hujjatul Islam Sayyiduna Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has narrated that Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has said, "Once upon a time, a Satan accompanying a true Muslim met a Satan accompanying an unbeliever. The Satan accompanying an unbeliever was healthy and well-dressed, whereas the Satan accompanying a Muslim was weak, undressed, and his hair were uncombed. The Satan accompanying the unbeliever asked the Satan that was accompanying the Muslim, 'Why are you so weak?' He replied, 'I accompany such a person who recites Bismillah while eating and drinking, so I am left hungry and thirsty. He recites Bismillah while oiling, so my hair is left uncombed.' Upon hearing it, the Satan accompanying the unbeliever said that, 'I accompany such a person who does nothing, i.e. he does not recite Bismillah while doing these acts.
So I get involved with him in eating, drinking, water, etc., dressing and oiling. Number 11. Before applying oil, recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and pour some oil onto the palm of the left hand. Then first oil the eyebrow of the right eye, then the left eye, then the eyelashes of the right eye, then of the left eye, and then oil the hair. If oiling the beard, then begin with the hair grown between the lower lip and chin. Number 12. When the one who uses mustard oil takes his cap or turban off, sometimes foul smell emanates. Therefore, whoever can afford should apply fragrant oil to his head. An easy way to make fragrant oil is to add some drops of your favorite itr into the bottle of coconut oil and dissolve it. Fragrant oil is now ready to use. Wash the hair of the head and the beard with soap from time to time. Number 13. Women must hide the hairs that fall while combing or washing, so that no stranger, i.e. the person to whom nikah is not haram forever, could see them. Number 14. The noble Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has forbidden to comb daily. This prohibition is makruh, tanzihi, and its purpose is that a man should not remain busy adorning himself. Imam Manawi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has said, if one needs it due to a mop of hair, he can absolutely comb daily. Number 15. Stated here is a question with its answer asked to the leader of Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Question: at what time should the beard be combed? Answer: there is no particular time appointed in Sharia to comb. It has been commanded to adopt moderation. Neither a man should make him look strange, nor should he remain busy adorning himself all the time. Number 16. Begin with the right side whilst combing. Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha has said that the Holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam liked to begin doing everything with the right side, even wearing shoes, combing and attaining purity. A commentator of Sahih Bukhari, Alama Badruddin Aini Hanafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has written regarding this hadith. These three things have been cited just as examples. Otherwise, it is mustahab to begin every respectable and righteous act with the right side, such as entering a masjid, wearing the dress, using miswak, applying kohl, trimming nails and mustaches, shaving armpits, performing wuzu, taking bath, leaving the toilet, etc. And the acts which are not special, like leaving the masjid, entering the toilet, blowing the nose, removing trousers, shalwar, and dresses, it is mustahab to begin with the left side. Number 17. It is mustahab to apply oil and fragrance for Jummah Salah. Number 18. It is not makruh to apply oil to the beard and mustaches when fasting. However, if one applies oil with the intention to grow beard despite the fact that he already wears a fist-length beard, now it is makruh even if he is not fasting, and a degree higher if he is fasting. Number 19. It is impermissible and sinful to comb the hair of the beard or head of the deceased. People used to shave the beard of the deceased. This is also impermissible and a sin. The deceased will not be sinner, but those who shaved or those who ordered to shave. Tel ki boonde tapakti nahi balon se raza. Subbe aariz pe lutate hain sitare ghaisun. To learn thousands of sunnahs on various topics, buy and read the books Bahare Sharia Part 16 and 312 page book and Sunnatin or Adab, a 120 page book published by Maktabatul Madina. One of the best ways to learn the sunnahs is to travel with the Madini Qafilas of Dawati Islami in the company of the devotees of the beloved Rasul. Lutane rahmate qafile mein chalo, seekhne sunnatin qafile mein chalo,
ہوں گی حل مشکلیں قافلے میں چلو، ختم ہوں شامتیں قافلے میں چلو۔ صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد۔ Dear Islamic brothers, in conclusion, I take this opportunity to mention the excellence of a blessed sunnah as well as some sunnah and manners. The Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has said, whoever loves my sunnah loves me, and whoever loves me will be with me in Jannah. Sina teri sunnat ka madina bane aqa, jannat mein parosi mujhe tum apna banana. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. 22 Madani pearls of hair and sunnah, conforming hairstyle, etc. Number 1, the zulfi, i.e. the hairstyle of the noblest Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would sometimes be to the half of the blessed ears. Number 2, sometimes to the blessed earlobes. Number 3, and sometimes would reach the blessed shoulders. Number 4, from time to time we should act upon each of these three sunnahs, so sometimes we should keep our zulfi down to the half of ears, sometimes to the earlobes, and sometimes to the shoulders. Number 5, the sunnah of keeping the zulfi, i.e. the sunnah confirming hairstyle, to the shoulders is often more difficult for our nafs. Nevertheless, everybody should act upon this sunnah at least once in his lifetime. However, it is necessary to take care that hair does not go below the shoulders. The length of hair can be correctly seen when hair is wet. So in the days when hair are grown, to practice this sunnah, comb the hair after having a shower and properly observe that hair is not going below your shoulders. Number 6. My master, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, has stated, it is haram for men to keep hair below the shoulders like women do. Number 7, a legendary and leading scholar of Sharia and Tariqah, Allama Maulana Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, has stated, it is not permissible for a man to have long hair like women. Some so-called Sufis, mystics, keep extremely long hair which hang on their chest like a snake, and some of them braid their hair similar to women. This is all impermissible and against the Sharia. Mysticism does not lie in growing hair and wearing colorful dresses. It rather lies in obeying the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam completely and sacrificing the desires of nafs. Number 8. It is haram for a woman to shave the head. Number 9. Do not have the young girl child's hair cut as masculine style. Give them the mindset of keeping long hair right from their childhood. Number 10. Some people make the parting of hair either to the right or left side. This is against the sunnah. Number 11. If one has hair on his head, the sunnah is to make a center parting. Number 12. A man has a choice either to shave his head or not and have hair parting. Number 13. Both are proven from the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, although shaving is only proven at the time of removing ihram, so it is not on any other occasion. Number 14. Nowadays, hair is cut in particular styles using scissors or machines, making some part of hair long and some part of it short. It is not sunnah to have such a hairstyle. Number 15. Saying of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, whoever has hair should honor them, i.e. wash oil and comb them. Number 16. Sayyiduna Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salatu wasalam was the first to trim the hair of mustache and the first to see a white hair. He alayhi salam said, O Lord Azza wa Jalla, what is this? Allah Azza wa Jalla replied, O Ibrahim, this is your grandeur. He alayhi salam then said, O my Lord, increase my grandeur. The prominent Mufassir, Hakimul Ummat, Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan, Ali Rahmatul Rahman, states under this hadith, before him, Sayyiduna Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salatu was salam, no mustache of any Nabi alayhi salam grew longer, or it grew and it was trimmed by them, but it was not ordered in their Sharia to trim the mustache. Now due to him, Sayyiduna Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salatu wassalam, this act became an Ibrahimi sunnah. Number 17, it is a bid'ah, innovation, to shave or pluck hair from the area between the bottom lip and the chin. Number 18, it is makruh to get the hair on the nape of the neck shaved, but it applies when one only gets the hair on the nape of the neck shaved and not the hair of the head. As many people get the hair on the nape of the neck shaved when they have their beard trimmed in a sunnah conforming way. If the hair on the entire head is shaved, then along with this, the hair on the nape of the neck should also be shaved. Number 19. It has been commanded to bury four things: hair, nails, the piece of cloth that a woman uses for cleaning menstrual blood off, and blood. Number 20. It is mustahab for men to turn the white hairs of the beard and head reddish or yellowish in color. For this purpose, mendi, i.e. henna, can be used. Number 21. One should not sleep with henna applied to the beard or hair. According to a hakim, a herbalist, sleeping after applying henna in this way may cause side effects on the eyes. This is detrimental to the eyesight. This advice of the hakim, the herbalist, was verified in such a way that a blind person once came to Ashik-e-Madina, i.e. Amir al-Sunnat, Damat Barakatumul Aliya. He said that he was not born blind, but regrettably, he once applied henna to his hair and then went to sleep. When he awoke, he had lost his eyesight. Number 22. The whiteness of the hair of mustache, the bottom lip, and the edges of the beard of those who apply henna become apparent after only a few days, and this does not look nice. Therefore, if you cannot repeatedly color the entire beard, then after every 4 days, at least try to apply a small amount of henna to the parts where the whiteness becomes apparent. It is stated in Sharh al-Sudur that Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated, the one who used to apply henna, a type of hair dye other than black, e.g. red or yellow, to his beard, Munkar Nakir will not question him after death. Munkar will say, "O Nakir, how can I question a person who has the nur, the radiance of Islam on his face?" To learn thousands of sunnahs on various topics, buy and read the books Bahari Sharia Volume 16, a 312-page book, and Sunnat aur Adab, a 120-page book, published by Maktabatul Madina. One of the best ways to learn the sunnahs is to travel with the Madini Qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami in the company of the devotees of the beloved Rasul. Lootane rahmatein qafile mein chalo, seekhane sunnatein qafile mein chalo, hungi hal mushkilein qafile mein chalo, khatam hu shamatein qafile mein chalo. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, in conclusion, I take this opportunity to mention the excellence of a blessed sunnah as well as some sunnah and manners. The Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, has said, "Whoever loves my sunnah loves me, and whoever loves me will be with me in Jannah." Seena teri sunnat ka madina bane aqa, jannat mein parosi mujhe tum apna banana. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. 14 Madani pearls of clothing. Firstly, three blessed sayings of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam are presented. Number 1. The veil between the eyes of jinns and the sitr of people is that when anyone takes off his clothes, he should recite Bismillah. A great thinker of Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has stated, as a wall and curtains become a barrier to the sight of people, similarly this zikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla will be a barrier to the sight of jinns, that is, the jinns will not be able to see his private parts. Number 2. Whoever puts his clothes on and recites the following, his future and past sins will be forgiven. Alhamdulillahillazi kasani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wala quwwa. Number 3. Despite having the means to wear elegant clothes, whoever avoids them due to humility, Allah Azza wa Jalla will clothe him in the attire of karama. Number 4, the sacred dress of the noble Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was usually of white cloth. Number 5, clothing should be from halal earnings. No salah, whether farz or nafal, is accepted if offered wearing the clothing obtained from haram earnings. Number 6, it is narrated, whoever ties his imama while sitting or wears his lower garment, i.e. pajamas or trousers, while standing, Allah Azza wa Jalla will make him suffer from such a disease for which there is no cure. Number 7, when putting clothes on, start from the right side because it is sunnah. For example, when putting on a kurta, put your right hand into the right sleeve first and then your left hand into the left sleeve. Number 8, in the same way, when putting on the lower garment, put your right foot into the right leg first and then your left foot into the left leg. And when you are taking your clothes off, do the opposite, i.e. start with the left. Number 9, it is stated on page 409, volume 3 of the book Bahare Shariat, the 1197 page publication of Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawati Islami, it is sunnah to have the length of the kurta up to halfway down the shin, the length of the sleeve up to the fingertips at most, and its width should be one hand span. Number 10. It is sunnah for men to keep the bottom of their trousers or turbans above the ankles. Number 11. Men should wear only masculine clothing and women should wear only feminine clothing. This distinction should also be taken into account when dressing small children. Number 12. It is stated on page 481, volume 1 of the book Bahari Sharia, the 12th, so wear imama and your dignity will be enhanced. Whoever ties an imama gains one virtue for every fold of the imama that he wraps around his head. Number 7. It is mentioned in the 1197 page book Bahare Shariat, published by Dawati Islami's publishing department, Maktabatul Madina, on page 660, volume 3. Tie imama while standing and put on the pyjama, i.e. the trousers, while sitting. Whoever does the opposite to this, i.e. ties the imama while sitting and puts on the trousers while standing, he will suffer from such a disease for which there is no cure. Number 8. Before tying imama, make good intentions. In case of no good intentions, you will not get sawab. Therefore, at least make this intention that I am tying an imama to act upon the sunnah and to please the Almighty Allah. Number 9. It is appropriate to wrap the first fold of the imama towards the right side of the head. Number 10. The shimla, i.e. the unwrapped end of the blessed imama of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, would generally hang behind his blessed back. Sometimes it would be on the right hand side, and sometimes there would be two shimlas between his two blessed shoulders. To hang the shimla on the left hand side is against the sunnah. Number 11. The length of the shimla of the imama should be equal to at least 4 fingers in width and up to the middle of the back at the most, i.e. approximately the length of one arm. Number 12. Tie the imama while standing facing the qibla. Number 13. The sunnah of imama is that it should be no shorter than 2.5 yards in length, nor should it be longer than 6 yards, and it should be tied in a dome-like shape. Number 14. If you have a large kerchief with which you can make enough folds to cover the whole head, it will be considered as an imama. Number 15. It is makruh to tie a small kerchief with which one can only make 1 or 2 folds. Number 16. When you want to retie the imama again, then untie each fold one by one instead of taking it off all at once and throwing it on the floor. Number 17. If it has been removed due to necessity and you intend to tie it again, then one sin would be removed on untying each fold. Please listen to the six health benefits of Imamah. Number one, the hairs of the people who remain bareheaded are directly exposed to the effects of winter, summer and sun. It not only causes harm to the hair but also brain and the face and can cause loss to one's health. Therefore, tying an imama with the intention of sunnah is beneficial for both the worlds. Number two, according to a medical research, wearing an imama is very beneficial for headache. Number three, imama strengthens the brain and memory. Number four, wearing an imama keeps one safe from chronic cold. If the wearer suffers from cold, its effects are minimal. Number five, the shimla of the imama saves from the lower body paralysis, because shimla provides protection to the spinal cord from weather effects, e.g. winter, summer, etc. Number six, shimla minimizes the risk of sarsam, cerebral edema. The disease of brain swelling is called sarsam, cerebral edema. Allama Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has stated, the blessed imama of the Holy Rasul Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam was often white, sometimes black and sometimes green. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, the Holy Rasul Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam has also worn the green imama. And what a reverent color is green. The great blessed dome on the sacred mausoleum of our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam is also green. An excellent way of learning Sunan is to travel with the Sunnah inspiring Madini Qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami. Nahi hai chand suraj ki Madine ko koi hajat, wahan din raat unka sabz gumbad jagmagata hai. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. To learn thousands of Sunnahs on various topics, buy and read the books Bahar-e-Shariat Volume 16, a 312-page book, and Sunnatin or Adab, a 120-page book published by Maktabatul Madina. One of the best ways to learn the Sunnahs is to travel with the Madini Qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami in the company of the devotees of the beloved Rasul. Lootane rahmatin qafile mein chalo, seekhane sunnatin qafile mein chalo, hongi hal mushkilein qafile mein chalo, khatam hongi shamatin qafile mein chalo. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, in conclusion, I take this opportunity to mention the excellence of a blessed sunnah as well as some sunan and manners. The Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, has said, whoever loves my sunnah loves me, and whoever loves me will be with me in Jannah. Sina teri sunnat ka madina bane aqa, jannat mein parosi mujhe tum apna banana. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. 19 Madni pearls regarding a ring. Number 1, it is haram for men to wear a gold ring. The beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has forbidden wearing a gold ring. Number 2, it is haram to have a minor boy wear the jewelry made of gold and silver, and the one having the minor doing so will be a sinner. A woman can apply henna to her hands and feet, but if she applies it to a boy, she will be a sinner. There is no harm in applying henna to the hands and feet of minor girls. Number 3, the iron ring is the jewelry of the damned, i.e. the hell dwellers. Number 4, it is permissible for men to wear only a masculine ring, i.e. the one with only one gem. If there is more than one gem, or there are many gems, then it will not be permissible for men, even if it is made of silver. Number 5, it is not permissible for men to wear a ring without a gem, as a gemless ring is not actually considered a ring. Number 6, it is permissible to wear the ring inscribed with harufi muqatta'at, the letters in the beginning of some Quranic surahs, but it is not permissible to wear or touch such a ring without wudu. Likewise, it is not also permissible for the one shaking hands with such a ring wearing person to touch it without wudu. Number 7. Similarly, it is not permissible for men to wear more than one permissible ring. Women can wear gemless rings. Number 8.
even without the need of using the ring as a stamp. It is permissible to wear a silver ring that weighs less than 4.5 masha, i.e. 4 grams and 374 mg, and that has only one gem. However, for the one who does not need to use it as his official stamp, it is preferable not to wear even the permissible ring. As for the one who needs to use it as his official stamp, not only is it permissible but also a sunnah to wear such type of ring for the very same purpose. However, if somebody wears it displaying arrogance or adopting feminine style or with any other evil intention, then it will not be permissible to wear even a beautiful dress, let alone the ring. Number 9. It is preferable to wear a ring on the occasions of Eid, but men can wear only the permissible one. Number 10. To wear a ring is a sunnah only for those who need to use it as an official stamp, such as the king, the qazi, and the mufti stamping the fatawa with the ring. Except for these people, it is not sunnah for those not needing to use it as an official stamp, though it is permissible to wear it. Rings are no longer used as stamps, but rather a particular stamp is used for this purpose. Therefore, it is no longer a sunnah to wear a ring even for the qazi, etc., who do not need to use it as a stamp. Number 11. Men should wear the ring in the way that the gem remains towards the palm, while women should keep the gem towards the back of the hand. Number 12. A gemless ring, a silver ring, is typical of feminine ornament, and for men it is makruh, tahrimi, impermissible and a sin. Number 13. Women can wear as many silver and gold rings as they like, whether with or without a gem. For them is no limit on the weight of silver and gold, and on the number of gems. Number 14. If an iron ring is plated with silver so that the iron is not visible at all, then it is not prohibited both for men and women to wear such a ring. Number 15. One can wear the ring on any hand but should wear it on the little finger. Number 16. It is also impermissible and a sin for men to wear a metal bracelet even related to mannat or dam. Number 17. Likewise, it is not permissible to wear a gemless ring made of silver or any other metal or a steel ring brought from Madina Munawwara, Zadahallahu Sharfan wa Ta'zima, or Ajmer. Number 18. It is not also permissible for men to wear a gemless ring made of silver or any other metal to which dam has been made for the cure of piles and other diseases. Number 19. If an Islamic brother is wearing a metal-made bracelet or gemless ring or chain or any type of impermissible ring, he is obliged by Sharia to take them off immediately, to repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla and to make a firm intention of not wearing them any longer. Do not also give it to any other Islamic brother to wear. To learn thousands of sunnahs on various topics, purchase and read the books Bahari Sharia Volume 16, a 312-page book, and Sunnatin or Adab, a 120-page book published by Maktabatul Madina. One of the best ways to learn the sunnahs is to travel with the Madini Qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami in the company of the devotees of the beloved Rasul. Lootane rahmatin qafile mein chalo, seekane sunnatin qafile mein chalo, hongi hal mushkilein qafile mein chalo, khatam hongi shamatin qafile mein chalo. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, in conclusion, I take this opportunity to mention the excellence of a blessed sunnah as well as some sunnah and manners. The Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has said, "Whoever loves my sunnah loves me, and whoever loves me will be with me in Jannah." Seena teri sunnat ka madina bane aqa, jannat mein parosi mujhe tum apna banana. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. 20 Madani pearls regarding miswak. Firstly, two blessed sayings of the Holy Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam are presented. Number 1. 2 rak'at offered after performing miswak are better than 70 rak'at offered without miswak. Number 2. Make it obligatory for yourself to use miswak because it is the cause for the cleanliness of mouth and pleasure of Allah azza wa jalla. Number 3, on page 288 of the first volume of Bahari Shariat published by Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawood-e-Islami, Allama Maulana Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali has mentioned, the reverend scholars say that the one who uses miswak regularly will be blessed with the recitation of the kalima at the time of his death, and the one who consumes opium will not be blessed with the recitation of kalima at the time of his death. Number 4, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma has narrated that miswak has 10 qualities. It cleans the mouth, strengthens the gums, improves the eyesight, eliminates phlegm, eliminates bad breath. It is the observance of the sunnah. Angels become happy. Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased, and it increases good deeds and improves the functioning of the stomach. Number 5, Sayyidina Abdul Wahhab Sharani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi narrated, once Sayyidina Abu Bakr Shibli Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi needed a miswak whilst performing wuzu. He looked for it but could not find it. So he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi bought a miswak for 1 dinar, i.e. a gold coin, and used it. Some people said to him, "You have spent too much on this. Should one spend so much on a miswak?" He rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi replied, "Without doubt, this world and all that it contains is not even of the value equivalent to the wing of a mosquito in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. How will I answer if on the day of judgment Allah Azza wa Jalla asks me, 'Why did you abandon the sunnah, the miswak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? The reality of the money and wealth that I gave you was not even equivalent to that of the wing of a mosquito. So after all, why did you not spend such an important wealth for accomplishing that great sunnah, miswak?" Number 6, Sayyidina Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated, 4 things enhance intellect: abstaining from useless conversation, use of miswak, company of pious people, and acting upon your religious knowledge. Number 7, miswak should be from pilu zaytun or neem tree having a bitter taste. Number 8, thickness of miswak should be equal to that of the little finger. Number 9, miswak should not be longer than one handspan, otherwise Satan sits upon it. Number 10, the strands of the miswak should be soft, otherwise they cause space between the teeth and gums. Number 11, if miswak is fresh, then it is excellent. Otherwise, soak it in a glass of water to make it soft. Number 12, it is appropriate to trim the strands of miswak every day because they are beneficial for as long as they have some bitterness. Number 13, brush your teeth horizontally with miswak. Number 14, whenever you use miswak, use it 3 times. Number 15, and rinse it after each time. Number 16, hold miswak in the right hand in such a manner that the little finger remains at the bottom, the middle 3 fingers remain on top of it, whilst the thumb remains at the top, near the soft strands that are used to brush the teeth. Number 17, first brush with miswak the upper teeth of the right side and then the left, thereafter clean the lower teeth starting from the right side and then the left. Number 18, using miswak holding in fist poses risk of piles. Number 19, miswak is a sunnah to be performed before wuzu, but if one has foul smell in the mouth, then using miswak becomes sunnatul muqida. Number 20, do not throw away a used miswak, as it is an instrument used to act upon a sunnah. Rather keep it somewhere respectfully, bury it or put it into sea after tying it to a stone or something heavy, etc. To learn thousands of sunnahs on various topics, buy and read the books Bahari Shariat Volume 16, a 312 page book, and Sunnatain or Adab, a 120 page book published by Maktabatul Madina. One of the best ways to learn the sunnahs is to travel with the Madini Qafilas of Dawood-e-Islami in the company of the devotees of the beloved Rasul. Lutane rahmati qafile me chalo, seekhane sunnatain qafile me chalo, hungi hal mushkile qafile me chalo, khatam hoon ki shamatain qafile me chalo. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, in conclusion, I take this opportunity to mention the excellence of a blessed sunnah as well as some sunnah and manners. The Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has said, "Whoever loves my sunnah loves me, and whoever loves me will be with me in Jannah." Sina teri sunnat ka madina bane aqa, jannat mein parosi mujhe tum apna banana.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Visiting graves. 16 Madni pearls. Number 1. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, I used to forbid you from visiting graves, but now you should visit graves, because this brings about disinterest in the world and makes one remember the hereafter.
Number 2. Visiting the graves of Muslims is a sunnah, and it is a great privilege to visit the shrines of blessed awliya and martyrs, rahmahumullah ta'ala. And sending them sawab is liked and an act of reward. Number 3. If anybody wants to visit the grave of a Muslim or the blessed shrine of any saint, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, it is mustahab that he offers 2 rak'at nafal salat at his home at a non-makruh time. In every rak'at he should recite Ayatul Kursi once and then Surah Al-Ikhlas 3 times, and after Surah Al-Fatiha he should then send the reward of this salah to the deceased of the grave. Allah Azza wa Jalla will create nur, a light in the grave of the deceased, and grant immense rewards to that person, i.e. the sender of the rewards. Number 4. Whoever goes to visit the blessed shrine or grave should not indulge himself in unnecessary conversation on the way. Number 5. Neither kiss the grave nor put your hands on it. Instead, stand some distance away from the grave. Number 6. To perform sajda to a grave out of respect is haram, and if done with the intention of worship, it is kufr, unbelief. Number 7. Use the common path of the graveyard where there were no graves of the Muslims in the past. Do not walk on a newly made path. It is stated in Raddul Mukhtar, it is haram to walk on the new path that is made by demolishing the graves in the graveyard. In fact, even when there is doubt regarding that new path, it is impermissible and a sin to walk on it. Number 8. It has been observed at many shrines of saints that in order to facilitate visitors, new pavement and floors are made by destroying the graves of Muslims. It is haram to lie, walk, stand and even to sit, etc., in order to perform zikr or recite the Quran on such floors. Fatiha should just be recited from a distance. Number 9. The visitor should stand in front of the face of the buried person. He should come near the grave from the direction of the feet of the buried person, so that he is in the sight of the buried person. He should not come from the direction of the head of the deceased, so that the deceased has to lift his head to see the visitor. Number 10. Stand in the graveyard in such a way that your back is towards the Qibla and your face is towards the faces of the grave dwellers. Then say, Assalamu alaykum ya ahl al-qubur, yaghfirullahu lana wa lakum, antum salafuna wa nahnu bil-athar. Translation, Salam be to you, O people of the graves. May Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive us and forgive you. You have come here before us and we are to follow you. Number 11. Whoever enters the graveyard and recites this dua, Allahumma rabbal ajsadil baliyati wal izamin nakhiratil lati kharajat minad dunya wa hiya bika mu'minatun adkhil 'alayha ruhan min 'indika wa salaman minni. Translation, O Allah Azza wa Jalla, O Lord of the bodies that have deteriorated and of the bones that have decayed, bestow your mercy upon those who departed from this world in the state of faith and give my salam to them. Then all the believers who have passed away since Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam until the time of that dua will make dua for the forgiveness of the one who recited the dua. Number 12. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has stated, if a person enters the graveyard, recites Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Ikhlas and Surah At-Takasur, and then he prays, O Allah Azza wa Jalla, whatever Quran I have recited, give its reward to Mu'min men and women of this graveyard. Then all those Mu'mins will be his, the sender of reward, intercessors on the Day of Judgment. Number 13. It is stated in a blessed hadith, whoever recites Surah Al-Ikhlas 11 times and sends its reward to the deceased people, he will attain rewards equal to the number of deceased. Number 14. Do not light incense sticks onto the grave, as it is disrespectful and inauspicious and causes trouble to the deceased. If pleasant fragrance is intended for the visitors, then these incense sticks should be lit at an occupied space away from the grave, as spreading pleasant fragrance is a preferable act. Number 15. Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has stated on another occasion, it is narrated by Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the book Sahih Muslim that at the time of his death, Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu instructed his son, "When I die, neither any wailing woman nor fire should accompany me." Number 16. Do not place an oil lamp or a lit candle, etc. on the grave, as this is fire, and placing fire on the grave causes trouble to the deceased. If light is intended for pedestrians at night, then you can put a candle or a lamp at one side of the grave. To learn thousands of sunnahs on various topics, purchase and read the books Bukhari Shariat Volume 16, a 312-page book, and Sunnatain or Adab, a 120-page book, published by Maktabatul Madina. One of the best ways to learn the sunnahs is to travel with the Madini Qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami in the company of the devotees of the beloved Rasul. Lootane rahmate qafile me chalo, seekhane sunnate qafile me chalo, hongi hal mushkile qafile me chalo, khatam hongi shamate qafile me chalo. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Spend the whole night in the weekly sunnah inspired ijtima of Dawat-e-Islami held every Thursday at approximately 8 o'clock in your city for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal with good intentions. In order to learn sunnahs, make it your routine to travel with a 3-day Madini Qafila every month with the devotees of Rasul, and to fill out the Madini Inamat booklet every day practicing Fikr-e Madina, and to submit it to the relevant responsible Islamic brother of your locality on the first day of every Madini month. I must strive to reform myself on the people of the entire world, insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. In order to reform ourselves, we must act upon the Madini Inamat, and to strive to reform the people of the entire world, we must travel with the Madini Qafilas, insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.